delegation to Iraq to stand and support inspections. You might want to put that into your letter, but I think you won't. And the reason you won't is because Santa Cruz locally has no such resolution on the agenda, either in this or in item 21. So you're actually giving a rather weak resolution, which does not reflect the town hall meeting, which I shall be discussing when that comes up. And so this is another example of symbolism without substance by this city council, which is urging the state legislators to take a relatively weak action instead of inspiring it to take stronger actions, as we started to do in earlier in the year with earlier resolutions. And I think that a lot of the actions throughout the country by other city councils have come because Santa Cruz and other cities have taken a courageous stand. So I would encourage you to strengthen this resolution considerably, but to make it credible, you have to do the same thing locally, and you have to declare this city a sanctuary as well in order to persuade the legislators to do that. So I would encourage you to think about that, to do that, and I will be discussing the issue around the town hall meeting in the next agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that was Mayor Riley and myself at the city council. We have a caller here. Let's see what you up to. How you doing there, caller?
I'm doing well. My name is Joseph, and I'm hanging out down at the peace vigil right now. I'm across the street trying to avoid the feedback. I have a few poem beginnings that will eventually be epic, but I'm going to just kind of bind them together into one little poem. The Prince of Primates and Twilight in the Heart of the Empire, and they go as such.
Cool.
The Prince of Primates wears the clothes of the Emperor, but this fool has made a pact with the beast and has sold his soul to an evil military junta and will sell the earth to pump Gaia's lifeblood from her veins and combust this rich oil for the forward motion needed to move his crumbling economy along. While corporations have bartered for the spirits of our citizens, men of pride and power have entangled us all in their web of tyranny, forcing fear upon us, trampling the truth with terror, rallying the troops with vengeance and mock justice. 'Tis twilight in the heart of the empire. Hands of authority reach out to cover the world in a shadowy shroud, emulating the facade of freedom. The sun is setting, but in the shadows beats the living pulse of the true revolution, a revolution not of blood, but of consciousness and unity, with artists living and loving together. The sliver of the crescent moon grows and waxes towards fullness, and as the oceanic tides change in relation to lunar gravity, so flows the blood which pumps through each and every heart, binding us together in one love, spun by the force of many and all, dying, crying, trying to be free. So the crescent moves the flow of eventide, beating with the pulse of this earth, smiling down on us like a Cheshire cat from above, while the stars are the veil of the sky's universal light, appearing as the true beautiful darkness covers the nocturnal world. You like?
Here, here.
All right.
Sounds like you're getting some positive responses from the folks across the street there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for the chance to speak, Robert. If I have anything else to say, maybe we'll call back. Maybe we'll have some other speakers, if it works out, into your schedule.
Okay, listen, do it. And again, folks can
sorry.
Come. All right. So, sounds good. Keep it up.
All right. Many blessings, Robert.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And that was from the table down the table where the vigilers are vigiling against two wars down on Cooper and Pacific. They've been going now for almost 48 hours, probably 47, soon be 48 hours since Friday about 1 o'clock. And, wow, they're seeing that it's not just sort of a Guinness Book of World Records thing, so I guess that's sort of always nice to have such a record. I know that there have been previous vigils. There was a vigil against, it was called the World Peace Vigil in the middle of the last Iraqi war, which was the 1991 Elder Bush War. We had Mayor Jane Hokiyama at that time, Jane Yokoyama. Actually, thousands of people blocked the freeways. Thousands of people hit the streets in anger and just bewilderment. It wasn't really bewilderment. It was just it was rage and opposition to the war. And then after the initial bombing and the quick victory by the U.S. troops in Baghdad, and that's an interesting question, what will happen this time? Will there be, will Saddam scoot out the back if there's a war, or will it be the house-to-house fighting? Will it be a different scene? Whatever it is, it's going to involve thousands of deaths. We know that. And the question, of course, which has been raised by France, Germany, China, Russia, is since Saddam is disarming, supposedly, the function of this whole threat of war, why go to war, when you're having it happen? Indeed, it's happening under pressure, but it's happening. And, of course, the answer is that Bush wants to go to war anyway. And we have to stop him, and if we can't stop him, we have to end it. That's what we have to do. And that's what this vigil is doing down there at Cooper and Pacific. And here in Santa Cruz, we need to end the war against the poor. And that's an ongoing, longer war that we have been suffering for the last decade, as, of course, the Iraqi people have been suffering a war throughout the last decade of sanctions, of bombings, again, all with the aim of supposedly removing Saddam Hussein. I know, because both Bushes and Clinton are so excited about democracy. No, I don't think so. They want power in the Middle East. This is their way of extending U.S. power in the Middle East. And it's not your power, it's not my power, it's the power of a clique at the top that is starving the country on behalf of these military obscenities that we're witnessing now. And we're going to be witnessing more of them, including the use of chemical weapons by the U.S. Yes, they call them lethal incapacitating agents. Non-lethal incapacitating agents, like the so-called non-lethal incapacitating agents used at the Moscow theater to get rid of the Chechen terrorists that killed 128 people, innocent people. We have the same kinds of weapons. I'm going to be reading something about that on the Counterpunch website. But again, we were interrupting in the midst of all this, and I tend to jump from one thing to another. The city council's failure to respond, and some people from the community demanding they respond to what the community asked them to do, which is to take stronger action against the Bush regime, against this military coup, in essence, that's going on. It's not the military that's doing the coup, per se, of course. I'm not suggesting that, but the military is being used in this situation to divert domestic attention from real issues at home. And, of course, Bush is counting on this big spike in popularity once he goes to war. And you can already see the pseudo-patriotic jingoism rising, the obsession with the military, what's happening over there with the military units. If you look in the pages of the Chronicle today, the Sunday Chronicle, they have a revolution in warfare slouches toward Baghdad, war mart. You have a puff piece on poised for action, 217 men and women, weekend warriors of the 341st Military Police in San Jose are about to become full-time soldiers. This kind of crap is going to fill the papers, and people are going to be marching to it. So it's going to get much worse before it gets better unless we can stop this war. Let's hear our city council do just the opposite. Make face-saving gestures that don't offend any politicians, particularly their favorite politician, Representative Sam Farr.
Like to address us on this issue? We have a motion on the floor and it has a second. Is there any discussion to that motion? Mr. Porter?
I'd like to propose a friendly amendment that, as was suggested in that email, we send copies of this letter to the other cities in California that have adopted similar resolutions to the one we adopted.
That's fine. Okay, to the maker? Mm-hmm. And the second? Did you second it?
Okay. I seconded it.
Oh, also,
I'm happy not to also.
Did Mr. Eselius leave? I was going to tell Mr. Eselius, I don't guess he'll hear, that there's numerous reasons for taking this action in the sample resolutions, both House and Senate, from Hawaii that's in the agenda packet, and he could obtain, maybe Robert will tell him, he can obtain a copy of that from the city clerk during business hours, I presume. But I'll just repeat, you can look in the agenda packet, Mr. Eselius, and you'll find numerous reasons for taking this action. No, just all you have to do is look in the agenda packet.
Fine, but you see, the agenda package is not available to the
it's
general.
It's in a binder right back there.
Well,
and you can obtain a copy, as can anyone else, from the city clerk's office.
But
in fact, the agenda package is very hard to reach. It's not online, and it's FYIs, for example, don't appear in the library. If you want to get those are called For Your Information Bulletins. I was having a discussion with City Clerk Leslie Cook 2 days ago on this issue. She said, oh, we're working on that. That will change. I said, can you give me a time frame when we'll actually be able to read these FYIs that actually go into the agenda packet that every council member gets, but that the public does not get? Can you please tell me when? It's sitting in your office. Why isn't it sitting in the library? And she said, well, it's being worked on. I said, well, it may be a month, 2 months, 5 months, a year. She said, I won't give you a definite time. The only thing she said, it wouldn't be years. That's the extent of our friendly city council offices and the kinds of response the public gets when you're asking relatively simple questions. This is what happens when a government becomes arrogant and insulated. It feels it can do what it wants. Just as, for example, Councilmember Scott Kennedy can avoid a subpoena from a member of the public, in the case of Yon Golder, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, where Yon is being barred from city council offices, was held in jail for 35 days when he attempted to make inquiries, persistent inquiries, about why his vehicle, his home, was seized. When Scott Kennedy is subpoenaed and the subpoena is handed to Leslie Cook, she not only refuses to deliver it, she informs Scott Kennedy through Sergeant Baker so he can hustle out the back and rush home in his vehicle. And then Kennedy sends mocking emails about this to the people who tried to subpoena him. This is our city government at the present time.
Is that the resolution should identify those so that the people are, it's kind of like a blank check at this time.
Right.
There are many statements in the agenda package, but I don't know which one you're picking.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other discussion to the motion?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to come up later. This is the moment at which we're talking about preemptive strike and our attitude toward preemptive strike and looking for justification for making this recommendation to others to consider this particular aspect of this particular issue. I think the other, the list of things that were on those in those resolutions are all compelling. The most interesting thing to me is just what people's attitudes are toward a kind of different way of taking military action and what our response is going to be to that. And some of us, I think, would hold that preemptive military action is immoral and unjust inherently, but others may hold other things. I think we can just refer this to other people saying what we think the essential question is and let them develop or not develop their own attitudes about why they would support or not support that particular idea. And as Mr. Porter suggested, there's a fairly good list of suggested topics for discussion. But I think this is good, and I appreciate that it was brought forward.
Thank you. Any other discussion to the motion? Let's vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, no. Hearing none, passes unanimously. Moving on to number 21 is council member follow-up and direction from the February 18, 2003 town hall meeting regarding the war in Iraq with Congressman Sam Farr. This item suggests that the city council consider the following items to be brought up at the February 18th town hall meeting and provide direction as appropriate. There are four bulleted items here. I'd like to consider them one at a time. Is that okay with everyone? We do that?
We're actually for public comment.
Yes, we'll get all the public comment at once, but then we'll take action on them one by one just so that it's a little easier to follow as we move along. So what I think I'll do is just read what the four things are, and then if there aren't any questions, I'll accept public comment at that time. So the four bulleted items are House Resolution 2, expressing the sense of Congress that the authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002 should be repealed. The second is the Brown Kind letter to President Bush to support the diplomatic approach and comprehensive inspections process agreed to in UN Security Council Resolution 1441. The third is aid to Afghanistan from private donors not reaching intended persons. And the fourth is any issue related to the war in Iraq or the relationship between the United States and Afghanistan or Iraq. And we may provide additional direction after discussion of this item. Are there any questions about this from council members? Mark?
Do we have evidence that private donors in Santa Cruz sent private aid to Afghanistan that did not reach their intended source, or is this a general?
This is a ridiculous discussion of sending rice to Afghanistan. This makes the agenda, while more important things like the impeachment resolution of Bush or the demand that FAR take a stronger stand and oppose military appropriations does not. It's very interesting what they have picked, what they have chosen for their agenda discussion. They left themselves a door by the third item or the fourth item, which said, you know, any other stuff arising from the town hall meeting, but they didn't discuss anything else from the town hall meeting. The only people who did were the community who spoke at this meeting. This is Mark Premack raising the question about rice packets for Afghanistan.
Anecdotal information that night, but I don't have anything in writing myself.
So it wasn't anything specific about something being sent from Santa Cruz not arriving?
Well, I think we can probably discuss if we're going to give direction about this, we can discuss at that time exactly what we mean by that direction, what that would mean. Any other questions? Would anyone from the public like to address us on this item? Thanks. Please come forward. Let's do 3 minutes this time, since there are four. It's a bigger item. Thank you.
And see how generous Emily Riley is. She allows a return to the traditional 3 minutes, but only because there are four separate sections of the item. And though the council will be discussing each of these sections separately and chattering on as they wish in long statements if they choose, the public has only 3 minutes to talk about all four of these items. We're talking about issues of war and peace. They're going to have serious effects on the Santa Cruz economy, on what's happening here in terms of the relationship between the police and the community because of the massive protests that are going to be coming out here. This is what the city council is doing.
And I represent California Peace Action, but also a concerned citizen. In terms of how the United States has conducted its foreign policy with other countries in regard to weapon sales, nuclear weapons, and just its gross human rights abuses abroad. So kind of going back to address the way the resolution was worded, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, we must discourage any kind of preemptive attacks that the United States is planning on the nation of Iraq. And if we really look at root causes here, the preemptive action happened in the 80s when we decided it was okay to arm Saddam Hussein, knowing that he was a brutal dictator. And that's the root cause that I want to see addressed, is that the United States has taken on the mentality, it's the old saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And the pattern of U.S. weapon sales to horrible human rights abusing countries has actually landed us in a situation where we do have to be concerned by the effects of nuclear proliferation, the impending humanitarian effects of the war in Iraq, the effects that have already taken, the things that have already happened, the 2 million people who have died of sanctions. I mean, that is a preemptive attack. This is, all of these things are linked, and that's why I'm urging the city council to take a more proactive approach and realize Iraq is one nation on a list of nations that the United States is currently waging war with already. We've got Colombia, the Philippines. We're arming Pakistan. This is a dictator that we're deciding to support, who won his, basically won his seat through a military coup. We've got to be, we've got to begin to promote a foreign policy based on human rights and democratic law, and that means we do not sell weapons to undemocratic countries who abuse their citizens. It's a very, common sense issue, and that will make this country safer, and it will make people's daily lives. Sorry, I'm not connecting these thoughts as well as I'd like to, but it addresses the issue of people being abused on a daily basis in other nations, and it also has the resulting effect of making our country much safer. So I would urge you to sign on to the pledge for a new American foreign policy, end weapon sales to dictators. Have the United States accept its role in nuclear disarmament by making tangible steps to work on our own. disarmament. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
David Sarius again. In directing to the resolution as presented in the general format that we have here, is the first issue that I would like to have a little clarification on is President Bush to support the diplomatic approach and comprehensive inspections process agreed to in the Security Council Resolution 1441. Now, up to now, I think that he has supported that diplomatic approach, and Resolution 1441 and 1441 forms the foundation for his ability to go into Iraq with acceptance of the UN. It's my understanding of the situation that 1441 says that he can do it by interpretation. So I'm not sure what exactly you're after within this second item of the resolution, because it seems that that is Bush's cornerstone, and that's what he is doing, is Resolution 1441 inspections. The last item, which is any issues related to the war in Iraq, is once again general. It's kind of disappointing to see all these blank checks go across to the City Council where they can fill in whatever words they want at the end. There is a audience out there that is silent, that doesn't go to the large protests, that are concerned about this, and I personally am concerned about any issues related to the war in Iraq or relationships between the United States, Afghanistan, or Iraq. I'm not sure how we're there twice. But that's what I'm saying, I didn't give you, I couldn't accept that one because, you aren't specific enough for it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Members of the community, Santa Cruz City Council members. Remember what the major concerns of the City Hall or Town Hall meeting were, and most of them were somewhat stronger than what you've got here, considerably stronger. There was general skepticism about Representative Farr's activities, his lack of activity. There was a demand that he actually do something rather than handle the crowd, which is what he did. So, for instance, questions were asked about uranium-depleted weapons, which Farr has ducked for years and continued to duck at this meeting. There were questions about what about his proposals for ending the sanctions? I'm against ending sanctions in Cuba, he said. This council needs to call Farr to account. He is our federal representative. He is the person who can actually take some action here that the community has called for. They heard him speak. That's what that town hall meeting was about. Farr was given a far greater time to speak than any other member of the community and any other member than the city council. And the answers he gave were completely unsatisfactory and did not reflect the views in this community, did not reflect the fact that we are 2 weeks away from a Holocaust in Baghdad, and all of us know this, and we're talking about letters to state legislators and rather ineffectual resolutions and recommendations to Congress, aid to Afghanistan from private donors not reaching their intended persons. I mean, let's get real here. The council needs to take some real leadership action, and in fact, since you won't, I'm fairly sure the community needs to take some leadership action if necessary and drag you along. Farr is in a secure seat. That's so you have an obligation. Yes, you may ruffle some of his feathers. He may not like you as much as he did before, but you need to speak up and represent the community that spoke up at that town hall meeting. Barbara Lee voted against the military budget on the same day that Representative Farr voted for it. Then this community would have voted for it as well. I mean, they would have voted with Barbara Lee's vote, I mean to say. We need to stop this war. City Council won't even cross this political ally, even as we're on the edge of a Holocaust. There's not a word in here criticizing Farr. As I say, we have 2 to 3 weeks at most. I encourage the community to come out. We have to stop Bush's bombardiers who are ready with their bombs over Baghdad. The community has to ask what it can do to stop this business. As usual, in 1991 and 92, thousands poured out to block the freeways. That, of course, was after it started. I think this time we need to take preemptive action. The polls show that massive massive protests are having an impact. I urge the community to take action. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
I think that it's good that the City Council has taken a resolution.
Identify yourself again. I know
my name is James Costner.
Thank you.
Member of Santa Cruz community. I think it is good that the City Council has passed a resolution. I've seen.
And that, of course, is Jim Costner speaking. But I want to point out, you're listening to the Santa Cruz City Council a couple weeks ago. Mayor Riley is interrupting him and asking him to identify himself. You're not required to identify yourself to speak at the mic. In fact, the Brown Act specifically protects you from having to identify yourself. You're allowed to speak anonymously. So Riley's officious interruptions are not only distracting, they're illegal. She has no right to interrupt and demand, because in essence that's what she's doing. When she says request and interrupts, it carries the impression and overtones of a demand. And it intimidates people who don't want to speak at the mic from speaking. That's our mayor. That's our city council.
Resolutions that have come out of this council over the years for many progressive issues. I think that is good, but I think at the same time, the reality is that paperwork is not going to resolve this problem. Resolutions are not going to resolve this problem. Sam Farr deciding that he's for peace one day and war another day is not going to resolve the problem. You have an administration that's bent on bombing Iraq. You have an administration that's bent on oil, that's bent on weapons deals, that's bent on a whole lot of economics based upon some very outrageous violations to humanity. We're talking about a situation where since 1991, depending on who you read and who you pay attention to, you have anywhere between 2 and 3 million Iraqis who are been killed and murdered by U.S. bombing and by the indirect effects of the environmental holocaust and the environmental destruction that U.S. government has perpetrated on the people of Iraq. You also have a completely hypocritical reality because in the same Bush administration sold weapons to Iran and Iraq while they're at war with each other. And that's well documented. So you have an administration that really doesn't care about human rights, certainly doesn't care about liberty, certainly doesn't care about liberation. You have an administration that's bent on making sure that U.S. empire has its control on every aspect of the earth it possibly can have. And still you have a people who don't deal with that. But if you look at your history, read Michael Parenti, read Noam Chomsky, read Howard Zinn, read William Bloom. You can go on and on. You have many intellectual scholars in this country who are even from the middle class, so it's not poverty that's speaking for them, and they're addressing what the war machine does on the planet, and principally the U.S. war machine, which is the greatest war machine in all of history. This is the only country that ever dropped nuclear bombs on civilian population. You want to talk about Saddam Hussein and dictatorship? You want to talk about Saddam Hussein and weapons of mass destruction? How can we not look in our own backyard? The United States government has more weapons of mass destruction than all the other countries combined. This is the reality. I'm not making this up. This is not leftist doctrine or leftist slogans. This is reality, objective facts. Look at the history. Look at the present political situation. The United States government is going to have to fight on so many fronts. There's going to be the anti-war movement, and the U.S. government, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. And you hear Bush, he's already saying to the people of the world, I don't care if the whole world protests. I'm going to go through with this war. He doesn't care if the American people don't believe in the war. Hell, he doesn't even care whether the American people voted him into office, which most of the American people didn't. This is a man that, as a good friend of mine says, this is a man that takes 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes.
Your time is up. Thank you. Next speaker, please. I'm Sherry Connable. I took this little sign up to San Francisco to the peace rally there. It says, the USA is a security risk, act now. And I was really struck by how many people came up to me and said, that's it. That's right. We're the ones. We're the risk. And perhaps we aren't individually, but certainly this government poses an unprecedented threat to the security of all the peoples of the planet and the planet itself. And since we're talking about following up on the town hall meeting, I would like to ask you to add to your list the suggestion that was made last Tuesday night that I heard the greatest response to in the whole evening, the most applause, the most calls of affirmation, and that was the suggestion made by Emily Maloney that in our name this council call for the impeachment of the President of the United States, George Bush. That you call for the impeachment of the Vice President of the United States, Richard Cheney, and that you call for the immediate removal of Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, and John Ashcroft. That you ask our state legislators to do the same in our name, that you ask the 18 other cities in the state of California to do the same, and that you ask our national representatives in Congress to, with the greatest courage and the greatest resolve, provide leadership on this issue and move that impeachment process forward. This is an administration that has suggested a preemptive first strike policy, of which Iraq is only the first victim. They have promised us decades, even 100 years of war. They have said that in the first opening days of the war, they will use weapons of mass destruction. They have an unprecedented arsenal of weapons available to them, unlike anything we've ever seen in history. They are a serious threat. They are an unbelievable threat, not only to life on this planet now, but for generations and generations to come. And we have an immense moral obligation to everything we can to stop them. I do not believe they will stop themselves. This is a fanatical agenda. You can substitute for the word terrorists, the infidels in the crusade, the witches in the witch hunts, the Jews in Nazi Germany, or the heathen of this land that the Europeans slaughtered when they came onto American soil. Are you willing to stop them? I really ask you, this is a serious request. Emily's proposal that night got an overwhelming response. Please add to your list the impeachment of George Bush and Richard Cheney. Thank you. Would anyone else like to address us this evening? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the council. So the first bullet, the House Resolution 2, expressing the sense of Congress that the authorization for use of military force against Iraq resolution of 2002 should be repealed. Do you all have the information that in your green folders about Congressman Farr's resolution 20? Did everyone get that?
It's in the green folders.
The cover page.
Okay. Because I've misplaced mine, so it looks like it might make more sense.
In its entirety, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking that it looks like it might make more sense for us to mention that one instead of House Resolution 2, but I just wanted to make sure we talked about that. So any discussion? I'm hesitating because I'm...
Sam has already signed on to this.
Right. Yeah. So this is Sam's resolution.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And so the idea is just that we...
How can you expect a city council to be critical when Mayor Riley calls the representative who refuses to take action against the war in a meaningful way, Sam? Sam's resolution.
I'm hesitating because I'm just wondering if Tim, since you were the one who brought it up at the meeting, do you want to discuss it first and then Mark?
Well, I don't care what order we discuss it in, but this was brought up during the town hall meeting. Incidentally, I want to say thank you to all the people that attended the town hall meeting, and thank you for all the comments that were made. I think it's important for us to hold meetings that allow people, permit people, give people opportunities to have conversations.
This is Tim Fitzmaurice, but why doesn't he support a second meeting? Why did he support Riley's closing down the second meeting, the March 19th town hall meeting that would have been held in the Civic, where it could have been televised and accommodated a much larger number of people? Mr. Fitzmaurice, as I like to say, forgive me, is full of shit.
Conversation and shouldn't be considered the whole conversation. It's important, it seems to me it's important, that if we're going to have an impact on the culture, the military, the militarist culture that seems to be taking some sway right now in our international policy. If we're going to have any influence on that, an influence even within our own community, that we figure out a way to talk to each other about these issues. And sometimes I don't think we do a really good job of talking to each other about these issues. Sometimes I don't think that we really take the burden on ourselves to make the arguments that need to be made in order to persuade other people of the righteousness or correctness of the position that we're taking. I am of the opinion that preemptive military action is immoral, and it's an unjust war, and I would find it personally immoral. But I do believe there are people that find that to be a rather foggy or vague issue right now. I've been reading a lot of things about this, and I think most of the people at the town hall meeting were of that opinion. That's terrific. I appreciated their comments, and I appreciated the comments of the people that were at the various demonstrations and public events that were expressing their opinions on these matters. We have to make sure that even within our own community, which I think is very troubled by the actions of the national government potentially in this area, we have to make sure that we're making as good an argument as we can, that we're taking the burden on ourselves to persuade other people and not just thrusting upon them any matter of disdain for their inability to see it in our perfectly right and justified way. And we have to be really careful, because that's the only way a community can come to a new understanding of what their policy is. I was reading a book the other day, I do that once in a while, and it was about the Tokyo Raid. Tokyo Raid is a raid on Japan that occurred in April, I believe, a few 6 months after Pearl Harbor, and it was the response to that particular attack. And it was I was reading a collection of statements from a gentleman that writes for the National Review, so it was obviously a person who believed in the correctness of that action, but he was being very funny about it and humorous about how leftists tend to look at these things and how they would probably disdain the Tokyo Raid and all of that. And that really got to me, because I began to, you know, what I understood was there was in this country a really strong feeling that something had to happen in response to Pearl Harbor. And it was a symbolic action, this raid on Tokyo, 30 Seconds Over Tokyo was the movie they made about it. It was a symbolic action that was
instead of 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, we have 30 minutes in Santa Cruz, while everybody else gets 3 minutes. This is Councilmember Fitzmaurice. He's the Green Party council member, Green Party member who for an entire year, an entire 4 years, while he was council member, an entire year while he was mayor, violated the Green Party pledge, the Green Party platform against laws against homeless people, supported the sleeping ban, masterminded and supported an injunction against myself, Becky Johnson, and Bernard Klitzner, and other, essentially by inference, other members of the Coffee Clatch, which was the group that tried to get him to deal with the shelter crisis in the winter and the sleeping ban law in the winter. We had homeless people at his offices lobbying him, trying to talk to him. He got it so that the three leaders were barred because we allegedly harassed Anna Brooks, who is now a FLAC secretary who regularly speaks in favor of the city council activities regardless of what they are. You'll see her there at the city council meetings. We had to spend 6 months fighting that injunction, and it finally was dissolved as being a violation of the First Amendment, as being unjustified. But during that period of time, we had to stay 50 yards away from the city council offices. We couldn't use them, just as now Yon Golder has to stay, I think it's 100 yards away from city council offices and three other office buildings. This is the kind of power our city government starts exerting when you start putting demands on it that it meet the basic needs of the people in Santa Cruz and that it respect the rights and it allow public access to what it's doing. I'm not going to play too much more of this because these folks go on and on. They don't care how long they spend. They just care that you don't get any time to respond and, in essence, to make your case to the community, because, after all, that would show what they're doing and, most important, what they're not doing.
Almost just to be a morale boost for the country at the time. Interestingly enough, personally, my uncle died on that raid. My family was particularly affected by that raid. He was one of the very few people that were killed in the actual bombing raid, their plane crashed and all of that. Interestingly enough, the sort of the surroundings of that particular event has always been like a personal family event in my particular experience. So when I started reading these things about how that was the morale boost for that particular action, it sort of hit home because it's something that's been sort of obsessively followed in my family, you know, and for that reason. I think we have to be really careful, and I certainly find war disagreeable at a very basic level. I'm a conscience objector officially and all of that, so I've had to pursue in my life for 50 years, 40 years, arguments with people trying to persuade them of my particular perspective on things. I think people have...
We don't have an argument here. We have a monologue, and we have an endless monologue we have to be subjected to. It wasn't for nothing that I called this man Führer Fitzmaurice. This was the man who had me arrested for raising my arm in a mock, you're acting like a bunch of fascist mock Nazi salute when Mayor Krohn cut off Susan Zeman, a peace activist, at the mic and essentially threatened her with arrest if she didn't move away from the mic. I just kind of briefly raised my arm saying nothing off to the side. Fitzmaurice demanded that I leave the chambers or be arrested, in essence. And Krohn ended up having me taken to jail in handcuffs. And there's a federal lawsuit which was given a summary dismissal at the district court level, which is now going to appeal, that is still pending in the courts on that issue. There's also a lawsuit coming up this next week on Friday. We have a press conference planned for Friday in front of Sushi Now. That may be postponed because there's so much happening around the war and the vigil that it seems difficult to get all these things done. But tentatively scheduled for noon on Friday, I guess it would be the 12th, 13th, 14th. I think that's right. Friday the 14th? Is a noon press conference. Is it Friday or Thursday? Now I've got to go back to my... I'll let you know before the show is over, but there's a press conference planned for the end of the week at noon on one of those 2 days. It's at front of Sushi Now around the issue of another lawsuit that was filed in federal court. Again, these are by attorneys who think they can make some money off the lawsuit because I think the city is violating people's rights, and the rights here were I was sitting at a political table urging people to boycott Sushi Now and Alibaba's Cafe because of their involvement in setting up the so-called forbidden fence or cage, the fenced green area, to get rid of the young people at the Planter, and that has now privatized that part of the sidewalk during the day. And I was arrested by Sergeant Baker, and my table was taken down. Another woman was actually dragged away screaming, and with a pain compliance hold, Zoe Einbinder, and all charges were eventually dropped, at least against me. I think Zoe may still have a bogus obstructing the sidewalk charge pending. And the Sushi Now is still doing the same thing, people should know. When I arrived there 2 weeks ago to briefly set up a table, they immediately called the police. Apparently they feel that they own the sidewalk over there. They're just not going to have, they will not tolerate a table even in the permitted zone, which is a tiny area that's 10 feet from a kiosk, 10 feet from a building, and 10 feet from a crosswalk. Thank you, council members Riley, Kennedy, Porter, I should name them all, who gave us the new 10-foot setback rule that cuts back to less than 20% of the downtown sidewalk places where you can set up political tables, theoretically, although many of those places are taken up with bicycle racks and benches and other things where you can't be other obstructions that you can't set up tables. Anyway, I set up an illegal place, and Matisse Selman of Sushi Now immediately called the police. And when Olivia Brown Rabbit set up, apparently Selman or the woman who was working there initiated another complaint. They called the police and demanded she move the table. Again, we're talking about legal political rights in Santa Cruz being cut off at the neck by a city council in collusion with merchants downtown who are determined to gentrify this community. They don't say that. They just say we want to deal with the downtown problems. We don't want people running around with heroin needles and slicing people up and doing drug deals and harassing women. That's the law and order scream and cry that Hitler used in Germany to get his enabling legislation passed. We now have enabling legislation passed in Santa Cruz. It's called the Downtown Ordinances. It gives the police a blank check to go after and selectively harass, arrest, cite, demand that they move on anyone they want for virtually anything downtown if they're in any of these zones, if they're seated within 14 feet of a building, if they are sitting at a table within 10 feet of a building, if they're sitting at a table for more than an hour anywhere on the sidewalk and don't move along when they're requested. All these things have become crimes so that the police have unbridled discretion. It's not that they're crimes because they're criminal behavior. It's not that they're crimes because the police are going to enforce them in every instance. It just says, we're handing over our power to the police department. Go for it, you guys. We trust you. I mean, I thought we would have seen on the international scene how disastrous a choice this is to give military minds at the top a blank check. Steve Belcher's response has been to dissolve the Citizens Police Review Board in town, again, with the collusion of the city council in an illegal manner. I want to remind restoring traffic, and so we tried to let the cars go by. Two police motorcycles sped by and demanded we go back and not cross the street. Becky walked back, and so did I. And then when the traffic, when it was clear and it was possible to cross, we crossed, again, not at a crosswalk, mind you, but at an area where it was clear to cross without interfering with traffic. And I was then stopped and given a jaywalking ticket. And this is the process of that involved a rather interesting discussion between myself and other people who were observing this, because the police hadn't given a jaywalking ticket all day. They probably never gave another jaywalking ticket. I was the only person who got a jaywalking ticket. And I got a jaywalking ticket because, in essence, I said, by my walking across the street after they said, don't walk across the street, I obey the law. I don't obey instructions of police officers. There's no traffic. I'm not violating the law. It's not a danger. Thousands of other people have done what I did before me, and many did after, and didn't get harassed by the police. So I will obey the law. I will not obey the selective decisions of police officers who have been given massive powers by a city council that is abandoning any kind of meaningful public process with the community. That I won't do. And, of course, I'll suffer the consequences. Here's that tape.
And David, did you actually walk the entire way?
Interviewing somebody as I walked down right before getting a ticket.
Did. And how many people were there?
Oh, geez, I don't...
Still support it and think it's a good idea.
Oh, geez, I don't know. It's a lot more than I expected. It's hard to tell. 2,000 maybe? 3,000? I don't know.
And were there any speakers that particularly moved you?
I don't remember the names. Everyone was saying things that was right. I agree with the situation. It's good. It's really good that this is happening.
And you were part of the group that was walking in the street?
Yes. Yes, indeed. That was a lot of fun, too. That was a lot of fun.
This officer's going to give me a ticket.
Yeah, I see that. Good luck.
Thank you. Yes, officer, what can I do for you?
I tried to give you a warning about crossing in the street over there, and apparently you didn't
Well, the jaywalking law states you're not supposed to cross where it interferes with traffic, correct?
There's a crosswalk, not more than 50 feet above, and then I asked you to use the crosswalk, and you went to the sidewalk and then decided not to use the sidewalk again.
What is the vehicle?
Like your wife did, so you probably should have held her hand, I think.
What is the vehicle?
Today you're getting a ticket. Do you have your ID on you?
What does the vehicle code section say? Do you know?
Can I give you your ID, please?
Sure. Can you tell me the vehicle code section on that, officer?
That's what I'm doing right here.
Sure.
He never did.
It'll be on the ticket.
Sure. My understanding is that crossing is only jaywalking if it actually is dangerously interferes with traffic. And you guys were blocking traffic so we could get through, actually.
No, actually, I had to stop because I was afraid I'd hit you. I was afraid you were going to step out in front of me. So, yeah, you did interfere with traffic, didn't you?
Well, I actually...
My defense.
Why am I handing you a dollar?
This isn't
I can't give him a dollar.
No.
I gotta find my ID. You don't come that cheap.
I think that's the first time that's ever happened. I've never seen anybody do that before.
What is it? Give me money?
I did not try to give him a dollar. I was simply reaching for my ID and pull out the wrong item. Now let's not give it, for heaven's sake. I don't know if I have my ID on me, but...
probably do. Here it is. Does this look like me?
A little bit, yeah.
Right. Here you go, Officer Martin.
Ticket for jaywalking.
If that's an accurate way of putting it.
Ticket for jaywalking.
It really is me. It may not look like me, but it is me.
Oh, it's you.
Yes.
Pretty sure.
Yes.
I didn't look at the name, but
the face. You recall the face.
Yeah, the face was definitely you.
Ticketed for jaywalking.
Yes.
Ticket for jaywalking. Just don't jaywalk. All right, then.
That sounds fun.
You see, I wouldn't regard that as jaywalking, because he's not interfering with traffic.
Ticketed for jaywalking, watch out.
Okay.
Oh,
we'll use the crosswalk.
Now, I am wearing a t-shirt that states, can you tell me what my t-shirt says?
What?
It's the same thing right there while we're standing here.
Oh, I just crossed the street to see him. Oh, my
exactly.
God. You've got to be kidding me.
Two tickets for jaywalking.
He wants you to have a ticket. That's why he pointed it out to us. So he's being a good citizen about that.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you guys.
What happened here was somebody else walked across the street, and a bunch of other people actually, and I said, well, you don't seem to be dealing with any of these other people, not suggesting that, I think it was Officer, I'll remember his name shortly, hopefully. And so instead he pulled this youth aside, and you hear this, and a group of people, you know, begin to talk and complain about this. Because, indeed, you know, people are coming back from a demonstration involving thousands of people that blocked the streets. There was all kinds of, quote, jaywalking, which didn't involve interfering with any kind of traffic, as this youth's action didn't. And the youth ended up, of course, getting a warning and not a ticket. And I got a ticket. So there's no selective enforcement in Santa Cruz. This is just a myth. Anyway, here we go. Let's hear a little more of this.
Come on, dude.
Tickets for jaywalking here, folks.
How are you guys? Happy Peace Day. Don't jaywalk.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh,
you guys, come on. It's Peace Day.
Yeah, man. Come on. There's no need for this.
In Santa Cruz, as we know, no one jaywalks, so you better not either. You do. The officer, read me the vehicle,
totally
but he had that
like
officer,
do,
officer on that.
You know?
Yeah,
come on now.
The car that actually had to hit the brakes or something.
Or like two motorcycles.
Well, you didn't.
No? You didn't. You decided to go back to the shoot. That's why you're not getting a ticket.
In fact, I may subpoena you to court.
You know,
can you sign right
I
here?
I wasn't blocking your way up.
You're not admitting
you
the guilt. You're supposed to get
right,
ticketed.
Right.
Yeah, I've been ticketed erroneously by the police before, so, you know.
Excuse me, can you hold this in the tape recorder for me for a
sure.
Minute?
Sure.
There we go.
Are you
tape recorder? I am tape
recorder. Yeah, you should be. It's a shame the thousands of people that were walking in the streets didn't own good tickets.
Yeah, what's
it doesn't
up with
have
that?
Anything to do with the shirt, of course.
What does my shirt say?
What's up with that? Why
your shirt
that?
Says, stop police brutality. Coincidence?
Because
I think not.
Pointed it out. So essentially, you almost made a citizen's arrest against you. That's
oh, I see. So you're choosing to do this to me, though.
That's right.
Of course. So you can't put that blame on anyone else. You got to own that.
Sure. I'll let you know he pointed it out to us.
Well, I'm sure you would have stopped me if you saw it yourself.
No, I was busy writing him a ticket.
Oh, I see. So, you know, all the other 1,000 people that didn't get tickets, you're too busy writing tickets to them? Like, come on, man. I'm just crossing the street.
Yeah.
He doesn't
okay,
care.
We're jaywalking, folks. We have a jaywalking stop here.
Yeah, this guy's got to make the quota, you know.
That's great, you know.
What's the
I love my taxes go to your business salary.
Oh, what's this for? Yeah, let's cut the student, you know, education and charge them for jaywalking. This is Santa Cruz, man. We have this all the time. All the time. It's nothing new. You know?
Come on, guys. We won't let it happen again. We promise.
I promise. I'll never jaywalk again, okay?
Please.
Relax, man. See, she works for the city.
I do. And just remind him, you know what? Just admit your guilt and try not to say you won't do it again.
Tickets for jaywalk.
All right, you've given him a warning. Good for you.
Tickets for jaywalk.
Thank you.
But you guys also need to step up and accept responsibility for your actions.
Right. That's right.
Don't jaywalk across the street.
No, he's ultimately trying to protect people. I mean, in that respect.
And if all we do is get brave, it never change him.
That's right. That's right.
Jaywalking ticket.
Jaywalking ordinance require that people have to have been obstructed in some way or caused some sort of hazard, but just simply crossing a road other than at a crosswalk is not jaywalking, unless there's been some sort of obstruction created.
Hey, he gave you him a warning, so that's...
But he did give me a ticket.
I didn't.
I'm sorry.
No, Officer Martin gave me a ticket.
Arms?
I'm sorry. Pardon, Officer Arms. I was... Oh!
We've heard that before. I had to apply my brakes to not run you over.
So, you didn't get a ticket.
Thank you.
I did not.
Your name is?
Brennan Diaz.
And you got a phone number, Brennan?
Yes, I do.
Can I take it later? Because I may ask you to come to court and talk about this.
Sure.
Let me write it down.
And obviously, you've been, you know, picked out because you're wearing a shirt here that says Stop Police Brutality. Everyone here knows you're a person in the community who's always standing up for the rights of the people.
Well, I felt that I don't know exactly what Officer Martin's motivation was. I know that I don't feel I obstructed traffic. I waved him on. He wanted me not to walk across the street. I believe it was because he had told me, I acknowledge, not to walk across the street. I felt, however, it was not a jaywalking situation. And I disagreed with him on that issue. I feel because I challenged his authority was primarily why I got the ticket, not because I was a danger. But I don't think it necessarily because of my shirt. I don't suggest that was why you did that, obviously. I just think you were trying to assert your authority. I don't think it was necessary in this situation. That's our disagreement.
You got the warning and chose not to take the warning.
That's your analysis of it. But I think, in fact, that it's a question of whether it constitutes jaywalking.
She took that warning and said, you know what, it's not a safe place to cross here downhill.
Is
on a blind turn.
She chose to
use the sidewalk. I appreciate that.
I didn't think it was jaywalking either, but I wasn't sure that you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, I think Becky.
I had enough trouble with my chalking tickets from you guys to deal with. You know, that takes a lot of my time.
I've never written you a chalking ticket.
Tickets for jaywalking.
We can generalize you.
Go for it. Like you already don't.
Who's got tickets for jaywalking then?
One ticket for jaywalking. Ticket for jaywalking here. You better keep your noses clean, okay?
Or you'll get a warning from Officer Hart.
This is true.
Okay, this is true.
I won't deny that. But at the same time, you got to acknowledge though that it was not something that was just offered to me. It was something that was obviously, you know, a little more being like, hey, there's no need for this. This is excessive, you know, harassment. There's no need for. There's no cars. Well, there's no cars.
You're doing something wrong.
He wasn't doing anything wrong.
Law,
okay.
And you call that harassment?
I think you should always give someone a warning for jaywalking before you ever give them a ticket. You'd be like, hey, you know, don't jaywalk.
Just
all right?
That, we did give the warning, and he chose not to take the warning, and he got the ticket. You got the warning.
Okay, I just watched about 500 people jaywalk right back there, and I didn't see you guys doing anything. How come all the people jaywalking right in front of the park aren't getting tickets?
They're not. They're in the crosswalk. We were there.
What about all the people who aren't in the crosswalk? I was there for hours, too. When you guys left and came back, I was there the whole time, and I saw literally at least 200 people jaywalk and not in the crosswalk. No, while you were there. While you guys were there, and other, I'm not sure if you personally, but there were officers there. They weren't getting jaywalking tickets. Now, right here around the corner, you guys are given, you know.
Right. Around the corner.
Yeah, one ticket, and you know, we're causing the scene and threatening this poor guy. I mean,
did we threaten you?
Yeah, you know, you have to
threaten him with a ticket.
You threatened him with a ticket, not with violence.
Ticket. I asked for ID. Never said word about a ticket.
I felt threatened.
Never once.
I now play word games, though.
You know, it really is.
This is your police department at work. I want you to show some respect for these officers. They're being criticized for jaywalking tickets. That's correct.
That's because it's petty.
That's a really good sign.
It's a waste of money and a waste of time.
So let me get your name and number, too. Is that possible?
Sure. Yeah, I'm Aaron Banwell. 566-3152.
How do you spell your last name?
B-A-N-W-E-L-L.
Okay, may I give you a call?
Yeah, please do.
And your name and number is?
Brennan Diaz, 336-2554.
You guys are both local?
Yes, I am.
Long time
Santa Cruz citizens.
Okay, and you will testify that you indeed did see people jaywalking en masse with these two officers ignoring them?
Well, I'm not sure if I saw this officer here, but I definitely saw this officer over here.
Oh, ho. Well, okay, well, I think that there's plenty of rapes and murders to be taken care of in town. At least there's one guy on the loose, I know. Well, I hear there's a guy who's still on the loose.
There is. We're keeping a look. We're looking out for him. I know exactly who he is.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
I
suggest that he not jaywalk, certainly. Although that might be a good idea.
Well, then we could catch him,
and we may have caught him. Had he jaywalked, we would identify him, and he'd get arrested for that.
We could set up an... Sure, we could set up an ID station and ID every person coming by.
Okay, it's minor. It's petty. It's nothing.
Petty
not,
to you.
It's
still a law.
Petty to you.
Is
okay.
It not?
We enforce the
law. But the law is used in order to deal with real situations. This wasn't a real situation. You guys didn't like your authority challenge. That was
wrong. Traffic accident.
But hey, Donna. Jaywalking ticket.
There is no...
And that was... on, I guess, Saturday, February 15th or 16th last month, during the massive protest, I was the lone jaywalking ticket, at least that I've heard about, and that'll be going to court in a month or two, who knows. Always disqualify referee Mulligan, remember that. If you're taking any tickets to court, don't pay the bail, go to court, ask to be arraigned in another court, and go for a court trial. Of course, you got to have the time to do this, and a lot of people don't, and I can appreciate that. It's selective enforcement. That's what's going on in Santa Cruz. We see it worse among people who are poor because they're more vulnerable. They have less legal resources. They have less community visibility and support. And there's always this kind of fear, oh, I don't want to be associated with that grubby, dirty person over there. And I'm too busy. Got to get back to my job. Yak, yak, yak. I mean, it's not just yak, yak, yak. It's a real, real concern. Looks like an incoming call. Hi there, you're on free radio.
Hi, Harold. Sorry, Harold.
You can call me Harold, but most people call me Robert.
That's right. Do you know why I call you Harold? It was a black hole in an old man's memory.
I can guess there's a Harold Norris who's an excellent writer.
But there's a poet named Harold Norris.
Yeah, he's great. He's 82 now, I think.
What?
He's 82 years old.
Oh, really? I don't know that much about
him. He's a gay guy who is a friend of Bukowski's and other poets and Miller's, Henry Miller's. He's an old-timer.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he any relation?
No, I don't think so. But I love his work, and I've never met him or heard him speak or seen him, but his fiction, Harold Norris, is worth pursuing. Go to the library and look for it. If it's not in the public library, you know, check it out for interlibrary loan.
Well, I was...
That's my advice.
I was going to say that the tapes that I've just heard amount to a treatise on talking to cops and the effectiveness of talking to cops. And I just want to ask the question, because I don't have the ducks in a row yet, Robert, but I want to ask the question, suppose there were a way... Looks like there is a way to not only not never get a jaywalking or any other kind of a ticket again, but to make the officer responsible for giving you the ticket, responsible for paying it with full commercial liability because of overstepping. The law. You know that all codes, statutes, regulations, and so on are not law.
Without a three-year lawsuit and an attorney?
Absolutely not. No, no. Mm-hmm. This is by a man, a Texan, that never goes to court. He never bothers to go to court,
mm-hmm.
And he scares the hell out of people because he's. I'm giving him too much credit because this is something that...
Right, well, I know,
I know that the, if we're talking about citizen sovereignty or what verified complaints or there's a whole series of, you know, asking to be taken to a magistrate, a whole series of different.
Right. Well, I mean, you're talking about is the experience of the Patriot community is that they've been trying for 20 years, as long as I know, to make their way out of this maze whereby the so-called constitutional republic has been turned into a democracy. And,
it's not a democracy. It's a plutocracy, in my view.
The important thing to understand, however, is that we are all under the Uniform Commercial Code. And the way one recognizes this is that anything that you get from the government, which is a corporate entity, it is not the constitutional republic that we're supposed
you know,
to have.
Caller, I want to interrupt you because I am, you know, I'm always interested in this, and I've seen various activists discuss it theoretically and hold workshops on it, and I've encouraged them to put out brief flyers on it. Indeed, you've done some flyering and helped with that yourself, and thank you for coming down to Becky Johnson's chalking trial, by the way. Extend a public pat on the back for that. But my concern before I discuss these things publicly on the radio, particularly in the limited time I have, is that they have been tried and been successful locally. And the reason I say that is, take the case, for example, of B.S., what's his name? Not B.S., is it B.M. Smith, B.W. Smith? B.E. Smith, that's the man. B.E. Smith was a medical marijuana grower who regularly used, as well as you might call him a patriot, who drove around with his license light out in order to dare the police to stop him. And he would always demand to be taken to a magistrate. And the police up in the county, he was in a small county in Northern California, just stopped. They wouldn't touch him after a while.
Uh-huh.
But this was in that county. And when he came down here, he talked about the issue, gave some suggestions. And I think one person has tried it and is still taking the case through the courts. To really try it, you have to go to jail, you have to be held overnight.
This is not like that. I mean, I wouldn't suggest anything as taxing as that, because anything I'm not willing to handle, I don't try to convince other people that they should be willing to handle.
Sure, but let me tell you, the ultimate outcome of this is that B.E. Smith, this is not the ultimate outcome. B.E. Smith served several years in federal jail for medical marijuana cultivation, which has nothing to do with his proposal about taking to a magistrate, but he's a courageous and strong and principled man, and I'm not saying I've served time in jail too, though nowhere near as long. I mean, you know, for serving free food, I got 27 days.
He's probably under some kind of misconception as well, and that doesn't, you know, the Patriot community readily admits, anybody that's got any sense readily admits that we've made a lot of mistakes getting where we are.
Well, can you kind of in less than, I'm sorry to do this to you, I'm doing a city council thing, in less than 2 minutes summarize it, because I have to get through the next city council agenda and I only have 40 minutes to do it.
I'm not going to summarize it because it can't be done in less than two minutes. I'm just asking you, because I am not willing, what I'm not willing to do is to, you know, once I get my ducks in a row, in the sense that I can offer this in a fairly compendious form, and for yours and generally the community, the activist, the peace-loving, homeless, defending community, and so on. I simply want to be able to give this to you without and then, you know, explain whatever might be necessary to explain. But I have the feeling, you know, that. Because, you know, you talk about how little time you have, and in fact, you spend hours, days, years, months, and so on, listening to tapes about nothing being done, absolutely nothing being being affected in the struggle, you know, in the struggle that we're involved in, and this, at least, whatever its flaws, and at present it seems like there aren't any flaws. I mean, we'll probably discover some, but. This is not, I mean, there aren't any flaws, and people are using this, and they are using
locally,
it effectively.
Locally?
And what?
Locally?
Well, not locally, but as far as I know, I'm the only person that's onto this guy.
Well, the minute that I hear that it has been effectively used locally, I'll give you half an hour on the air. We can talk about it. But I don't want to have a theoretical thing
described.
You
might be the person to use it effectively. The point is,
let's talk about it off air then.
I'm not going to go out and try to get it in order to have the
caller. Let's talk about it off air so I can actually learn how to use it. And I may try it, I may not, and then I'll bring my report back to the community.
Is that fair?
Okay. I mean, I think that probably there's something still to be done about the jaywalking ticket. That's the bottom line.
Okay. Well,
something
what do you,
that can still be done about the jaywalking ticket, and I will let you know as soon as I have the ducks in a row.
Sure. And the number to call, of course, for other people, too, if they want to reach me off air, is 423-HUFF,
423-8-4833.
You are on top of it, caller.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robert. Bye-bye. Or Harold.
You can call me Harold. So, yeah, the number to call here, however, is 427-3772. I'm looking online at the Santa Cruz City Council agenda for next Tuesday, day after tomorrow, the afternoon and evening session. And the website, in case you want to go and check out the City Council agenda, is www.ci.santa-cruz.ca.us. www.ci.santa-cruz.ca.us. Or you can just put in a search engine for City of Santa Cruz and you'll find it. City Council agenda has some interest to me. At 1:30 p.m. in the closed litigation session, which you actually can talk at before it closes, there is an open interval where you're allowed to address the closed litigation session, which is the City Council sitting around as a bunch of chumps in a private place where they all, you know, talk personnel matters and law matters, and can do so secretly or privately, if you will. They're going to be talking in that session about the Pelton Sliver lot sale of Phelan Court, and I'm not sure whether that has something to do with the Pelton Street Palace's giveaway of 1998. I can't tell you. And also, there's a familiar name on the agenda, Norse versus City of Santa Cruz, U.S. Court District, Northern District, case number CO30342. That is my lawsuit against Sushi Now, Sergeant Baker, Chief Belcher, and the City of Santa Cruz for violation of civil rights and false arrest for taking away my table and taking me away in handcuffs on January 30th, 2002. Unfortunately, that's behind closed doors. They're going to decide what they're going to do about it, and there'll be a report on that later at City Council that won't be terribly interesting, and it'll come at the end of the meeting, but that is happening at 1:30. At 3 o'clock, and it looks like it's the Vice Mayor Kennedy is going to be ruling the roost, so be prepared for some arrests and hassles if Kennedy decides he wants to order people around. He's never been the sweetest fellow in the world, and in terms of allowing people access, public access, and we'll see what happens with that. Riley isn't good either, but she affects a more smiley demeanor, hence the name Smiley Riley. There's a long consent agenda, which means they vote on all these items at the same time, unless you choose to pull them off the agenda. Again, this is the afternoon, 3 p.m. agenda, Tuesday, March 11th. I've kind of looked it over briefly. There are items which I could go to, could mention for you. You can get a copy of this budget and of this agenda and look at the issues in the library. Looks like, what do we got here? I always look at items that are over $50,000, and for most of the items, they are now putting the amount of money in the summary lines. You don't have to go to a second sort of more detailed report to find out how much they're talking about. They didn't used to do this, I think, until we brought it up and pressed the issue. Some of the items that have large amounts of money are items, let's see, there's item 11, item 13, item 14. There is something about the university hiring food service employees, Kennedy has brought up. Motion to authorize the mayor to send a letter to Chancellor Greenwood expressing support and appreciation for the university's decision to hire food service employees. I wonder if they're going to deal with any of the other controversies up on campus around the food services. After the consent agenda in the afternoon is a series of what's called administrative business. And item 20 is of interest to some people. It's the expansion of the Santa Cruz Consolidated Emergency Communications Center's radio tower facilities. And I don't know if this has to do with the cellular phone thing or not. I know that's been a controversy. The cellular tower relay station has been a matter of concern at the county level. I could be completely wrong about this. I don't know what the details are. And there's a sale, again, of the Phelan Court, Pelton Avenue property. That's another item, item 21 in the afternoon. Then they pass for final adoption some laws, which one of them has to do with non-city debris boxes, some corrections that don't look like I'm either ill-informed on or can't really talk about. But then there's item 25, which is ordinance amending Title 10, repealing a number of chapters, establishing a standard citywide permit parking program and procedure. Citywide. That's citywide. And the recommendation is the Santa Cruz City Council introduce for first reading an ordinance to amend Chapter 10.41 of the Santa Cruz Municipal Code regarding citywide permit parking. And that's what the one I was telling you about, where they get to boot your vehicle and tow it away if it's parked there at night without a permit. So all the parking spaces in these areas that they choose to designate are going to become no park zones for anybody without a permit. And it'll be the danger that your home, if it's your vehicle, will be towed away. It's also, of course, a hassle for city workers or people who come in and want to park. We have a caller here. Maybe we're talking about this issue. Who knows? Hi there. You're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. Theodora here. And I wanted to ask if you could go back to the cell tower issue that's on the city council agenda, because I wasn't aware of that, and I wanted to find out a little more about it.
I could be wrong. It could. I'm not sure if it's a cell tower issue. The one I was talking about is, let's see here, we're looking at, I think it's on the consent agenda. I got to go back here. La Vega. You know, I didn't see the words. Maybe I did see the word cell tower. Give me another moment as I look through here. You can also check it out yourself. But do you have a computer or not?
I don't. And I caught your words on it.
No, I appreciate that. And I tempted you and I tortured you. Now I have to find what. Here we go. Expansion of Santa Cruz's Consolidated Emergency Communication Center's radio tower facility. So maybe that's something else.
Uh-huh.
The City Council advised whether or not it wishes to receive an application for expanded commercial space on the tower at the Santa Cruz Consolidated Emergency Communication Center. This sounds like it could be something else.
Uh-huh.
Here's the discussion. In July of 91, a bunch of cities established a joint powers agency to provide emergency 911 services, including a 100-foot radio tower that included a small portion for commercial use and a nearby equipment shelter. This is a De La Vega site chosen because it was in public ownership. It became operational in the summer of 96. By late 99, tell me if I'm anywhere near what you're interested
in. It sounds like a continuation of the issue about cell towers at De La Vega Park right outside the Stroke Center.
I'll read some more of that.
And people should be concerned about it, because if it's an expansion, that means even more radiation, microwave radiation.
Wow.
And those towers are like 3 feet outside of the Stroke Center.
Want me to read the rest of the item for you?
Sure.
Okay, the De La Vega site was chosen because it was in public ownership and because it has an ideal line of sight location for the placement of radio equipment to communicate with police, fire, and ambulance responders. The new 9/11 center became operational in the summer of 1996. By late 99, increased service demands and increasing use of and reliance on cellular telephones by the public and by emergency responders, it is about cellular phones, had created the need for additional tower space. In November of 99, the 9/11 Center Board of Directors approved a conditional sublease with Westcom Towers that would have added two additional towers. The towers would have met the wireless needs of the public safety services and provided commercial space for lease. The commercial space would have generated income for the 9/11 Center and tower facilities for the benefit of wireless providers and their customers. Westcom Towers applied to the City of Santa Cruz for a major modification to the 1994 special use and design permit so that these towers could be constructed. City of Santa Cruz Planning Commission denied the application on June 6, 2002. The Planning Commission did not think the commercial use of tower space was consistent with the city's land use policies. Westcom Towers filed an appeal to the City Council, which would have resulted in a hearing that featured all the county's emergency responders in support of the appeal. Key people on both sides of the issue wished to avoid such a hearing and undertook to develop an alternate approach. In September of 2002, an agreement on an alternate approach was reached with a key opponent, and Westcom Towers withdrew its appeal. The new approach would reinforce and add 20 feet to the height of the existing tower and re-engineer existing radio equipment mounted on the tower to provide new space. This space would provide for current and future public safety needs lines and a reduced level of space for commercial use. Westcom Towers undertook the expense involved in the first proposal at the invitation of the 9/11 Center. Before undertaking the expense involved in developing a complete application for the revised plan, Westcom Towers needs to know whether or not the Santa Cruz City Council wishes to receive an application that includes additional commercial tower space. If not, no further work on the revised approach will be done, and the project will proceed instead at the expense of public agencies. If the City Council is interested in receiving such a proposal, Westcom Towers is interested in submitting a new application. Westcom Towers understands that the City Council cannot guarantee what the outcome of a new proposal will be. If it, as a matter of principle, the City Council does not wish to entertain an application that includes additional tower space, however, there is no point in producing such an application. Fiscal impact. If the ultimate project includes the Westcom Towers' participation in the commercial space that goes with it, the 9/11 Center will save $185,000 that would otherwise have to spend to construct a purely public sector tower expansion. Additionally, the 9/11 Center will receive about $38,000 per year in revenue from the leased commercial space. The City of Santa Cruz's share of those figures is 26%, or a one-time cost savings of $48,100 for the tower and $9,880 in annual revenues, submitted by our old friend Dick Wilson, City
Manager.
Actually,
I've heard enough, and just for anybody else who's listening, while they're reducing everything to dollars and cents, the latest studies that have been done on the effects of cell tower radiation show, and cell phones as well, show that you know, one 2 hour exposure to the a cell phone, you know, for, you know, a lot of people are on their cell phones doing business. Now, that's 1 2 hour exposure causes leakage of the albumin, which is one of the components of blood, causes leakage of the albumin into the brain, which means it weakens the blood-brain barrier and may be, you know, linked to a lot of strokes that younger and younger people are having. But if you have a cell tower there, you're constantly exposed to that radiation, maybe not as intensely as if you had a cell phone up close to your ear, but it's a constant pollution of the airwaves and the energy. You're being microwaved if you're in that building. Now, it's interesting that we do, you know, the study shows that that this microwave energy weakens the blood-brain barrier, and that's exactly the problem with people who've had strokes. And here we're putting these towers are 3 feet outside the stroke center, and it's criminal. And they're talking about nickels and dimes and who's saving how much money.
Hey, it saves money, Theodore.
So what time is this on the City Council?
Okay, this is item number, we're talking about expansion of the Santa Cruz Consolidated Emergency Communication Center. It's item 20. I would suspect you should probably come shortly after 3 o'clock and be prepared to wait probably for about an hour. I know that I ran into Supervisor Wormhout outside Smiley Riley's Poets for Peace shindig at the Rio Theater last Tuesday, and Supervisor Wormhout, who I call Whiplash Wormhout, was en route to the cell tower hearing that evening. I take it you were there. You want to give us a brief update?
Well, for the last couple of years, there's been an effort by citizens to help create a cell tower ordinance for the county, which will determine how new cell towers and cell antenna are sited in the county. And because of the citizens' involvement, it's a much stronger ordinance than what it would have been otherwise. But, you know, there's still some gaps in protection that we brought before the supervisors last Tuesday night. And the supervisors, to their credit, planned for an evening session, which allowed probably about 40 citizens came. And any time this issue's been up at the county before, it's just been during the morning. And, you know, there's, you know, always only been about, you know, 5 to 10 people. So it really made a difference.
Any outcome on that?
Well, they didn't. Almquist was not there, so they're going to pick it up again. They recorded everything, and hopefully he will have heard it. And they're going to have discussion on it at this next Tuesday morning. The agenda that begins at 9. I'm not sure, somewhere between 9 and noon. A fifth floor of the county building.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and there will be some public testimony opportunity. So if people haven't, you know, come out before, definitely know you'll be welcome. The good thing is that the Marty Wormhout was has obviously done her homework and listened to her constituents, and she was very much supportive of adding some things to the ordinance that will be more protective of the citizenry. And it seemed like Jan Buttes had heard a lot from her constituents and was very concerned, and Peary appeared to, you know, be on the same page, though I'm not sure how strongly. But, you know, things are progressing along, and this, whatever comes out of the county is probably going to be adopted in a similar form by the city. But I just really want to encourage people to, you know, think twice about how long you're on your cell phones if you use them, and you notice, you know, is the side of your face heating up? There's an epidemic of brain cancers, brain tumors that doctors are openly calling, openly saying, yes, this is related to cell phone use. You're not going to read about it in the paper, and the cell industry isn't going to tell you that. But these are dangerous tools. So if you use them for emergency, you know, meet you in 5 minutes or something like that.
And for your local payphone.
But do not hang on, because you are damaging yourself. And in fact, if you're under 21, most of Europe and even a lot of the Asian countries are openly warning parents not to let children under 21 use them, because they're still developing their neuromuscular system, and they're much more vulnerable to the radiation effects of cell technology. So we're foolishly being guinea pigs on this one. And
hey, it's going to save the city money, Theodora. Show some respect for finances, okay?
Well, once people realize they can mount lawsuits against the city, you know, because the Telecommunications Act that brought in the cell technology was passed in 96, and it essentially, you cannot sue the cell phone companies for any injuries you get from being near a cell tower or being, you know, using your cell phone.
Right.
That they're off limits. You cannot sue them. But you can sue the cities and counties that site them near you.
Sue.
Well, hey, you know, if our city and county want to be negligent, they will have to answer.
Yeah,
and I have no doubt, just like with what we're seeing with the tobacco lawsuits, that...
Well, Theodore, people want more information, because I got to cut you in the run on this. Can you got a number people can call for more info?
Yeah, Marilyn Garrett is leading the charge on this one, and her number is 688-4603.
688-4603.
Okay, thank you.
Hey,
thank you, Robert.
You. All right, that was Theodora, who's I've been encouraging to get... together with other medical marijuana activists to fight back on the issue of medical marijuana prohibition in Santa Cruz, except for the few who happen to be associated with WHAM. And if you're a whammer, you're okay. And if you're not, you don't get your medication. At least you can't. There are no other clubs that cannot. They're able to operate successfully here. I guess MedX, a very small one, with Anita Henry is, but. Anyway, getting back to the city council agenda, where we were talking about item 20, that's on the afternoon agenda, probably shortly after 3:15, 3:30 probably, but come to 3 if you want to be sure to talk about the cell tower expansion. Then later on the same session, the 3 o'clock session, there's item 25, which is going to set up permit parking all over town. It's an ordinance. They're coming forward. I didn't think it was going to come down this fast. Haven't been able to reach Jimmy Kelly, who's done some really outstanding organizing against this, to be able to talk about it, but that's item 25, permit parking all over Santa Cruz. So if you want to keep your vehicle and you're not rich enough to buy a permit, you want to oppose this one. You can always call Mayor Riley, Smiley Riley, at 420-5022 and tell her no thanks on item 25. And you can also mention something about the cellular phone expansion, the tower expansion, if you want, which again is item number 20, 25, 26, another interesting item. It's the downtown issues update. This is the, again, the latest in the don't sit, don't lie, don't play hacky sack, don't blow bubbles, don't leave your backpack unattended. We do give the police whatever they want stuff that Riley and Porter put together last summer. That's item 26, and what it essentially is that it is a pro forma report done about secret committee meetings. Again, what I was talking about earlier, you don't get access, public doesn't get access. This is their pretext for access, a brief report, item 26. The Redevelopment Agency meets at 5 o'clock. That's a group that's supposed to concern itself with low-income housing and things of that sort, and they're the ones, of course, behind the infamous Nueva Vista Dolphin Lee Boondoggle downtown, where Mercy Housing, Mercy Charities gets all the boodle, controls the whole show, rams things through the city council, selects who it wants, and then essentially has decimated the Dolphin Lee population. We haven't got time to talk about that at length. I have in other shows. If you want more information, always give me a call off air at 423-HUFF. This is a security agreement guaranteeing a loan for construction of the community center at the Nueva Vista housing project. They should talk about what happened to the security man at Sycamore Commons, who apparently was found to be assaulting and harassing people there. And what did Mercy Housing do? Did they take him to court? Did they fire him? No, they transferred him to Sacramento. That's the latest I hear from the woman who was victimized by him in that complex. 7 o'clock session of the City Council on Tuesday. Broadway Brommer police take note, bike path. That's the Broadway Brommer bicycle path. It's actually a police security path that allows the cops to send their vehicles into the Broadway Brommer wilderness area. And that's coming up for all of you folks who want to give the police greater access to wilderness areas. You'll love this one. A lot of the rest of us won't. Item 28 on the City Council agenda at night. And that's pretty much it for the Santa Cruz City Council on Tuesday. I have trouble even getting myself to go to the afternoon sessions, though you can often speak more if you go to the afternoon sessions. If you talk about the agenda items, they usually, if it's not me particularly, they give you 3 minutes. And I've been getting 3 minutes, too, recently, because it looks embarrassing when Scott Kennedy throws all of my discussion to the end of the agenda at 11:30. It looks sort of a little discriminatory and a little bit like a violation of the Brown Act. And if I ever got the money for an attorney and we ever got that together, he might find his fine peace-loving ass in a sling. And indeed, who knows what's going to happen with that. I'm particularly peeved with Scott because, as I said, he seems to be, he's carrying on his usual hypocritical peace abroad and war at home on the homeless. And it's just discouraging, to say the least. But I guess Santa Cruz politics are Santa Cruz politics. We have only about 15 minutes left on this edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. Call-in number, in case you've heard something you want to comment on, is 427-3772. If you want to get to the vigil against two wars that's going on, I guess it's going into over, 48 hours.
Delegation to Iraq to stand and support inspections. You might want to put that into your letter, but I think you won't. And the reason you won't is because Santa Cruz locally has no such resolution on the agenda, either in this or in item 21. So you're actually giving a rather weak resolution, which does not reflect the town hall meeting, which I shall be discussing when that comes up. And so this is another example of symbolism without substance by this city council, which is urging the state legislatures to take a relatively weak action instead of inspiring it to take stronger actions, as we started to do in earlier in the year with earlier resolutions. And I think that a lot of the actions throughout the country by other city councils have come because Santa Cruz and other cities have taken a courageous stand. So I would encourage you to strengthen this resolution considerably, but to make it credible, you have to do the same thing locally, and you have to declare this city a sanctuary as well in order to persuade the legislators to do that. So I would encourage you to think about that, to do that, and I will be discussing the issue around the town hall meeting in the next agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that was Mayor Riley and myself at the City Council. We have a caller here. Let's see what you're up to. How you doing there, caller?
I'm doing well. My name is Joseph, and I'm hanging out down at the Peace Vigil right now. I'm across the street trying to avoid the feedback. I have a few poem beginnings that will eventually be epic, but I'm going to just kind of bind them together into one little poem. The Prince of Primates and Twilight in the Heart of the Empire, and they go as such.
Cool.
The Prince of Primates wears the clothes of the Emperor, but this fool has made a pact with the beast and has sold his soul to an evil military junta and will sell the earth to pump Gaia's lifeblood from her veins and combust this rich oil for the forward motion needed to move his crumbling economy along. While corporations have bartered for the spirits of our citizens, men of pride and power have entangled us all in their web of tyranny, forcing fear upon us, trampling the truth with terror, rallying the troops with vengeance and mock justice. 'Tis twilight in the heart of the empire. Hands of authority reach out to cover the world in a shadowy shroud, emulating the facade of freedom. The sun is setting, but in the shadows beats the living pulse of the true revolution. A revolution not of blood, but of consciousness and unity, with artists living and loving together. The sliver of the crescent moon grows and waxes towards fullness. And as the oceanic tides change in relation to lunar gravity, so flows the blood which pumps through each and every heart, binding us together in one love, spun by the force of many and all, dying, crying, trying to be free. So the crescent moves the flow of eventide, beating with the pulse of this earth, smiling down on us like a Cheshire cat from above, while the stars are the veil of the sky's universal light, appearing as the true beautiful darkness covers the nocturnal world. You like?
Here, here.
All right.
Sounds like you're getting some positive responses from the folks across the street there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for the chance to speak, Robert. If I have anything else to say, maybe we'll call back. Maybe we'll have some other speakers. Oh, if it works out into your schedule.
Okay, listen, do it. And again, folks can
sorry.
All right. So, sounds good. Keep it up.
All right. Many blessings, Robert.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was from the table down the table where the vigilers are vigiling against two wars down on Cooper and Pacific. They've been going now for almost 48 hours, probably 47, soon be 48 hours since Friday about 1 o'clock. And, wow, they're saying that it's not just sort of a Guinness Book of World Records thing, so I guess that's sort of always nice to have such a record. I know that there have been previous vigils. There was a vigil against, it was called the World Peace Vigil at the in the middle of the last Iraqi war, which was the 1991 Elder Bush War. We had Mayor Jane Hokiyama at that time, Jane Yokoyama. Actually, thousands of people blocked the freeways. Thousands of people hit the streets in anger and just bewilderment. It wasn't really bewilderment. It was rage and opposition to the war. And then after the initial bombing and the quick victory by the U.S. troops in Baghdad, and that's an interesting question, what will happen this time? Will there be, will Saddam scoot out the back if there's a war, or will it be the house-to-house fighting? Will it be a different scene? Whatever it is, it's going to involve thousands of deaths. We know that. And the question, of course, which has been raised by France, Germany, China, Russia, is since Saddam is disarming, supposedly the function of this whole threat of war, why go to war, when you're having it happen? Indeed, it's happening under pressure, but it's happening. And, of course, the answer is that Bush wants to go to war anyway. And we have to stop him, and if we can't stop him, we have to end it. That's what we have to do. And that's what this vigil is doing down there at Cooper and Pacific. And here in Santa Cruz, we need to end the war against the poor. And that's an ongoing, longer war that we have been suffering for the last decade, as, of course, the Iraqi people have been suffering a war throughout the last decade of sanctions, of bombings, again, all with the aim of supposedly removing Saddam Hussein. I know, because both Bushes and Clinton are so excited about democracy. No, I don't think so. They want power in the Middle East. This is their way of extending U.S. power in the Middle East. And it's not your power, it's not my power, it's the power of a clique at the top that is starving the country on behalf of these military obscenities that we're witnessing now. And we're going to be witnessing more of them, including the use of chemical weapons by the U.S. Yes, they call them lethal incapacitating agents. Non-lethal incapacitating agents, like the so-called non-lethal incapacitating agents used at the Moscow theater to get rid of the Chechen terrorists that killed 128 people, innocent people. We have the same kinds of weapons. I'm going to be reading something about that on the Counterpunch website. But, again, we were interrupting in the midst of all this, and I tend to jump from one thing to another. The city council's failure to respond, and some people from the community demanding they respond to what the community asked them to do, which is to take stronger action against the Bush regime, against this military coup, in essence, that's going on. not the military that's doing the coup per se, of course. I'm not suggesting that. But the military is being used in this situation to divert domestic attention from real issues at home. And, of course, Bush is counting on this big spike in popularity once he goes to war. And you can already see the pseudo-patriotic jingoism rising, the obsession with the military, what's happening over there with the military units. If you look in the pages of the Chronicle today, the Sunday Chronicle, they have a revolution in warfare slouches toward Baghdad, war mart. You have a puff piece on poised for action, 217 men and women, weekend warriors of the 341st Military Police in San Jose are about to become full-time soldiers. This kind of crap is going to fill the papers, and people are going to be marching to it. So it's going to get much worse.